Right. Children's Church, huh? Isn't that awesome? We have waited way too long to hear dismissing the Children's Church. It is, you know, I was telling, I can't even remember, my memory is so well. Oh, it was Betty. I said, you know, it's real church again because I'm having Betty communion bread and Sally's pig in the blanket. So church is officially returned. We are now for the first potluck and we'll be fully back. Well, it's great to be here this morning, and if I'm not mistaken, I think summer has arrived to Pantego, Texas. It was just a week ago that we were all complaining about rain, so I blame you all. We're in the beginning stages of a new series here, focusing on supporting roles in the Bible. I love that Bob has brought this idea to us. When I think about the Bible, I so often focus on like the A-list stars, right? The apostles and Jesus, the kings, the heroes, the heroines, the villains and villainesses. And it was fun to find something that was a little bit more obscure and then to build a lesson around that. And I think that today I have a good message for us and perhaps one of the more unlikely supporting roles in the Bible. But before I get started this morning, let's spend a minute and invite the greatest teacher of all time to be a part of our learning today. Father God, the more time I spend in your word, the more humbled I am in its power. These stories that are millennia old are so alive and impactful in our lives in 2021. The way you use these written words to teach and lead us is truly miraculous. Father, we are a blessed people. Your love surrounds us. Your love pours over us. Father, I ask that you come alongside us this morning. I ask that we each hear your message, that your Holy Spirit will awaken in us and lead us to your throne, that what we hear be your words, your message for us. Father, move me out of the way and let your light shine on us all this morning. It's in your Son's holy name that we pray. Amen. All right, well, stop me if you've heard this one before. Not really, because most of you have heard this one before. So an elderly woman is at home alone, and there's a flash flood warning. It comes, and so the rain starts coming down, the streets start filling up, and she's sitting out on her porch, and the fire department comes by in the fire truck, and they say, "Ma'am, please come with us. The flash flood is coming, and we want to save you." And she says, no, my Lord will save me." So time goes by, and the waters continue to rise, and they actually come in the first floor. So she goes up to the second floor, she goes to the window, and here comes the boat. The fire rescue boat comes by, and they say, "Ma'am, come, we've got a life jacket for you, we're here to save you." And she says, no, the Lord will save me." Well, the waters continue to rise, and she goes up, and she's on top of the roof, and a helicopter comes by, and they drop the vest down, and they say, "Ma'am, please, get in the vest, it's life or death, you have to come with us." She says, no, the Lord will save me." Well, the waters continue to rise, and the woman gets swept down, and she eventually dies. She gets to heaven, and she sees God for the first time, and she says, "God, I waited for you. Why did you not save me?" He said, "I sent you a fire truck, a boat, and a helicopter. What else do I need to do?" This morning, we're going to take a trip to the book of Numbers. I tell you, if you want to find some lesser-known characters in the Bible, Numbers is a good place to start. I know that there's some great lessons in Numbers. It's just not something that I normally quote from. This morning, we're going to take a look at Balaam. And if he isn't unknown enough, the real hero of our story is his donkey. Before we dive into who Balaam was, let's set up some historical context. The Moabites, descendants of an offspring of Lot, Abraham's nephew, didn't like that the Israelites were lurking a little too close to their lands during the Exodus. Balak, their king, knew how Israel had handled another one of their enemies, the Amorites, descendants of Canaan. Fearing for his kingdom, Balak summons Balaam, a prophet, to come and curse the Israelite people. Now, there's some debate about what exactly Balaam was. I just said prophet, but one article I saw was titled, "Balaam, Prophet, Sorcerer, Saint, or Sinner?" For us this morning, we don't need to get into the debate of what Balaam was, but I tell you, through the course of this week, I found too many similarities between he and I. Let's look at Numbers chapter 22, starting at verse number 1. "Then the people of Israel traveled to the plains of Moab and camped east of the Jordan River across from Jericho. Balak, son of Zippor, the Moabite king, had seen everything the Israelites did to the Amorites. And when the people of Moab saw how many Israelites there were, they were terrified.
The king of Moab said to the elders of Midian, "This mob will devour everything in sight, like an ox devours grass in the field." So Balak, king of Moab, sent messengers to call Balaam, son of Beor, who was living in his native land of Pethor, near the Euphrates River. His message said, "Look, a vast horde of people has arrived from Egypt. They cover the face of the earth and are threatening me. Please come and curse these people for me, because they are too powerful for me. Then perhaps I will be able to conquer them and drive them from my land. I know that blessings fall on any you bless, and curses fall on people you curse." Balak's messengers, who were elders of Moab and Midian, set out with money to pay Balaam to place a curse upon Israel. They went to Balaam and delivered Balak's message to him. "Stay here overnight," Balaam said. "In the morning I will tell you whatever the Lord directs me to say." So the officials for Moab stayed there with Balaam. That night, God came to Balaam and asked him. Remember the other week I said, if the Lord asks a question, he's not asking it for himself, right? He's asking it for you. And the Lord asked him, "Who are these men visiting you?" Balaam said to God, "Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent me this message. Look, a vast horde of people has arrived from Egypt, and they cover the face of the earth. Come and curse these people for me. Then perhaps I will be able to stand up to them and drive them from my land." But God told Balaam, "Do not go with them. You are not to curse these people, for they have been blessed." The next morning, Balaam got up and told Balak's officials, "Go home. The Lord will not let me go with you." So the Moabite officials returned to King Balak and reported, "Balaam refused to come with us." At this point, everything seems to be going well. The king wants to use Balaam as a tool to win a battle. And Balaam says, "Let me see what God has to say about this." And God tells him no. So he sends him away. So far, so good. But the story continues. Then Balak tried again. This time, he sent a larger number of even more distinguished officials than those he had sent the first time. They went to Balaam and delivered this message to him. "This is what Balak, son of Zippor, says. Please don't let anything stop you from coming to help me. I will pay you very well and do whatever you ask me to. Just come and curse these people. Curse these people for me." But Balaam responded to Balak's messengers, "Even if Balak were to give me his palace filled with silver and gold, I would be powerless to do anything against the will of the Lord my God. But stay here one more night, and we will see if the Lord has anything to say to me." I think I've had this conversation before. I want to do something. God tells me no. I'm obedient. I resist. Then the urge or the opportunity comes along again, and I say, "Listen, I don't think I can do this, but let me check one more time to see if the answer has changed." Like I said in the intro, I started to see many similarities between Balaam and myself. Verse 20, "That night God came to Balaam and told him, 'Since these men have come for you, get up and go with them, but do only what I tell you to do.'" Is it just me, or can you hear the parent voice in this response? "Okay, fine. I told you no before, but I guess I'll let you go with them, but you're going to have to do it my way." So the next morning, Balaam got up, saddled his donkey, and started off with the Moabite officials. But God was angry with Balaam. But God was angry that Balaam was going. So he sent an angel of the Lord to stand in the road and block his way. As Balaam and two servants were riding along, Balaam's donkey saw an angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. The donkey bolted off the road into a field. My first point this morning is this: take the detour. In our story, Balaam is riding a donkey, but not just any donkey. We will see later in this passage that this is a donkey that Balaam had been riding his whole life. These two know each other. Let me ask you a question. In your life, who would you consider your donkey? Hold on. I swear that's not what that said. Who would you consider your driver? Of course, at different times in our lives, that role is going to be different. That role is going to be different people. For me, Jennifer is my driver. This is actually written. Notice that I didn't ask who your donkey was. I have learned a thing or two over the last 21 years of marriage. I wrote it down and still screwed it up. See, Balaam's driver, his donkey, was trying to lead Balaam to safety. I can certainly relate to the donkey here. Can you imagine the vision that an angel of God holding a sword would make? The donkey bolts, he runs, he sprints into a field. Sometimes in life, those closest to us, those that we trust, will take us in a direction that makes no sense at the time. It's the person that offers to drive you home after you've had a few drinks. It's the person that tells you that your dream job is not going to be worth it because the money isn't worth sacrificing the time with your family. In our minds, we're on a path that runs down a predictable road. We're on a mission, then something causes us to take a detour. If you're anything like me, this change in plans is not something that is welcome. The story continues. The donkey bolted off the road into the field, but Balaam beat it and turned it back onto the road. Has this been us before? Someone or something is trying to save us from ourselves, and we just force our path back down the road of destruction. Maybe you think that it's a simple mistake, like, why are you going this way? Let's get back on track. Maybe you have the music up too loud and you don't hear the train whistle. Back to our story. Verse 24 starts, then the angel of the Lord stood at a place where the road narrowed between two vineyard walls. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it tried to squeeze by and it crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. My second point today is this. The road isn't always smooth. Here we see the driver again trying to save Balaam from danger. This time, instead of bolting, running in a detour, she is trying to squeeze by the threat. In the process, she crushes Balaam's foot. Now, at this point, Balaam has got to be wondering what is going on with his driver. First, the whole running into a field thing, now he's getting his foot crushed. What he doesn't understand is that this is the best option. For us, we have to realize that the road to safety isn't always smooth. When I think of this, I naturally go to the tough love scenario. If you're a parent, then you've been there before. Well, we've actually all been there before, either as a parent or as a child. Parents are drivers. No, Lucas, you can't call me a donkey or any version of donkey. Parents are called to keep our children safe, and the older I get, the more scary the job becomes. See, our first option is that of a detour. We see the people that our kids are hanging around, we see the bad decisions, and we try and put a detour in place. Redirect the path to one that is correct and smooth. It may not be the highway that is fast, but the detour is still comfortable and it's safe. God did this with Balaam. Balaam came and asked if he could go with these people, and God told him no. But like Balaam, our children don't want to take the detour. They don't want to learn the easy way, and they choose the rough road. Perhaps in a relationship you've had a conversation about the choices and behaviors of the other person, and there are uncomfortable consequences for their actions. At work, perhaps having to report a theft. At school, having to report cheating, even though the person is a friend. But it is better to deal with the consequences of a crushed foot than face an angel of God with a sword, don't you think? But like us, too often, Balaam still doesn't see the whole picture. So Balaam beat his donkey again. You know, I've been so blessed. I've been so blessed. My children, while a pain sometimes, really do make good choices most of the time. But I know people in my extended family that despite the detours and despite the pain, they continue to make the wrong choice. They continue to beat those close to them by not listening, not heeding advice. The only thing in their mind is what they want. Damn the consequences. The story continues. Maybe. All right. Good deal. Then the angel of the Lord moved further down the road and stood in a place too narrow for the donkey to get by at all. This time, when the donkey saw the angel, it lay down underneath Balaam. My last point this morning is this. Don't go alone. There comes a time in the journey when the only way the driver can keep Balaam safe is to no longer willingly carry him. She sees that there's no way to avoid death and refuses to go any further. For us, what does this look like? If we are on a path and people start to pull back, they won't go with you further down the road, then be careful. If those around you stop talking, stop warning, perhaps this is a sign that you need to slow down and take a look around. This journey is not worth it going alone. But for Balaam, he had not yet seen the light. In a fit of rage, Balaam beat the animal again with its staff. Then the Lord gave the donkey the ability to speak. "What have I done to you that deserves you beating me three times?" it asked Balaam. "You have made me look like a fool," Balaam shouted. "If I had a sword with me, I would kill you." The donkey says, But I am the same donkey you have ridden all your life," the donkey answers. "Have I ever done anything like this before?" "No," Balaam admitted. "Have you ever had to have this conversation? Have you all of a sudden had someone speak up to you that normally just goes with the flow? Have you had someone you trust start to behave differently and you don't understand?" Now, I give Balaam credit for not freaking out about the fact that his lifelong donkey friend all of a sudden started talking. Do you think that if the donkey could have told him the first time about the angel, he would have? I'd guess so. But even if he didn't, I would have expected Balaam to ask the driver, "Why the detour?" For us, we can talk, and we need to. When something is going on, then talk. Ask questions. Discuss and love the situation that we find ourselves in. Talking won't always work. Sometimes you can talk all you want, and the other person does not hear or understand you. But watch what happens when Balaam finally understands the situation he's in. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the roadway with a drawn sword in his hand. Balaam bowed his head and fell face down on the ground before him. "Why did you beat your donkey those three times?" the angel of the Lord demanded. "Look, I have come to block your way because you are stubbornly resisting me." "Three times the donkey saw me and shied away. Otherwise, I would have certainly killed you by now and spared the donkey." Then Balaam confessed to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned. I didn't realize you were standing in the road to block my way." The story we read today is about the driver saving Balaam from the vengeance of God. I don't want you to see this as avoiding God. Balaam had made the wrong choice in the very beginning by not listening the first time when he was commanded to not curse the Israelites. Those in our lives, those that we trust, those that have stood the test of time, God has placed there for a reason. They're there to keep us safe, help us avoid the pitfalls of life. But we have to be tuned into God. He is the ultimate compass. There may be times when to follow God, we have to take a detour and the road less traveled. We don't normally have the luxury of God coming to us at night and asking us questions. Trust your driver, keep your eye on Jesus, and let him dictate your steps. We're going to sing one more song this morning, and then I'll close us down with prayer.